Hey, Bill and Gunner, welcome to Black Lord Tribal Edition. Murumu here with you today. I guess the territory when it comes to Indigenous themes inside of Australia or outside of Australia, got Jacinta Price being stood down, maybe have a bit of a timeout on her views and things like that.
Real settlement is the real deal. So, yes, it is. It is only a delay. It's all gammon because, you know, as John Howard said in 92, I think it was, a nation doesn't treaty with itself. It can't treaty with itself. That's the important part.
Hey, Bill and Gunner, welcome to Black Lord Tribal Edition. Murumu here with you today as we broadcast right around the globe, thanks to our friends at Bumbabipra Media, 98.7 FM, the Unity Broadcast Service, and, of course, if you're listening somewhere else, it's probably via the National Indigenous Radio Service, which operates inside of Australia. And wherever you are listening to the program, we just say thank you once again for supporting the show. It's been going for some time now. As old blokes get older, we probably sound like a broken record, but, you know, thanks for putting up with us. One of the things we wanted to talk about today was a number of things. The Victorian Treaty has moved forward in some respects there inside of Victoria, of course, and that's causing a few issues. We'll have a listen to some of the Sky News punditry on that, but also a few other things that have changed. It's a bit hectic. I guess the territory when it comes to Indigenous themes inside of Australia or outside of Australia, we've got Jacinta Price being stood down, maybe have a bit of a timeout on her views and things like that. But let's take a listen to some of the Sky News commentary on the Victoria Treaty and how they think it's unfair.
Well, the state of Victoria is about to be completely re-engineered. Not to fix the trains and not to save the hospitals and certainly not to deal with the crime crisis. If Jacinta Allen has her way, 7 million people will be impacted by the mystical claims of 65,000 Indigenous people. According to the government's treaty document released today, Victoria's 65,000 Aboriginals enjoy, and I quote, a sacred relationship with country. The preamble to the document says this relationship was, quote, born at the first sunrise and sustained for over 60,000 years. If your average farmer claimed a sacred relationship with his paddock stretching back to the first sunrise, he'd be laughed out of the planning office. But I digress. When you put the phrase sacred relationship with country in a government report, a cultural belief suddenly becomes the basis of legislation. And that's what happened today. Today, the Victoria Labor government introduced its statewide treaty bill. It creates a new Victorian Indigenous Council to be called Galangwal. Think Albanese's failed voice to Parliament if the voice had swallowed three protein shakes and a Red Bull. Its 33 representatives will be elected, but only Indigenous Victorians will be permitted to vote for them. And in the gerrymander to end all gerrymanders, the Indigenous body will have the power to decide who can and who cannot claim to be Indigenous and therefore vote for them. That's like letting Collingwood not only umpire their own matches, but decide who gets to play for the other side. It's not like non-Indigenous Victorians have been forgotten altogether, though. They'll get to fund this body to the tune of $70 million a year. It's a kind of compulsory diversity tax. So what will this high-priced, race-based bureaucracy do? Well, let's start with the kids, because let's be honest, it always starts with the kids. This body will develop a curriculum, teaching school children from prep to year 10 about the enduring harm of colonialism, dispossession and injustice. So forget reading, writing and arithmetic. The new curriculum is guilt, grievance and government-approved truth.
Okay, Gunyara, I'll bring you in. Obviously, we've been quite consistent on the program that any sort of deal inside of Australia, whether it be inside of Queensland or Victoria or a national voice of some sort, wouldn't really fix the problems that exist today. But is it true that it's a re-engineering version of the Albanese's failed voice for Victoria?
I feel it's a can-kicking exercise, to be quite honest, just to delay the inevitable. Remember back in 2017 when we spoke with Senator Scullion? He said they are going to go down the state-based treaty road. All of them will have to do it eventually as a delaying mechanism for what the real settlement is, the real deal. So, yes, it is. It is only a delay. It's all gammon because, you know, as John Howard said in 92, I think it was, a nation doesn't treaty with itself. It can't treaty with itself. That's the important part. Not that it won't, but it can't, just physically can't, because sovereignty, as they mentioned in the Uluru Statement, is coexisting. Now, sovereignty of the Aboriginal nations, which is the ultimate law upon the land that governed the Aboriginal nations before the white fella come, the ultimate law was what you'd classify as the sovereignty that governed the society. There was no other man-made law above the laws of the Aboriginal land when the white fella come. So that is sovereignty itself, per se. When you look at Australia, they're claiming the same thing. There's no more sovereignty over Australia. There's no more man-made law over Australia, which is a sort of a bit of a furphy, if you understand the United Nations and the international systems of law. But Australia is claiming it's the sovereign entity to be here. And they got no doctrine, by the way, to prove how they got the assertion, the right to assert sovereignty, because they say that the Aboriginals have sovereignty. So there's a big issue there. But they're trying to now contain it within Australia. Now, inside Australia, all legal identities are created ultimately by the Australian Constitution, because it's the grand norm. Australia's grand norm is the Australian Constitution. That created Australia. And the states, believe it or not, the states are not the old colonial powers, but the Constitution let their constitutions merge into the modern world at federation, and only as far as what the Commonwealth would let it go, the Australian Constitution. So you say, I'm a Queenslander, I'm not. You are Australian. I'm Victorian. You know, you are Australian. You're all Australian citizens. And Australian citizens have no right to go and do deals on behalf of someone else. That's the job of the federal government itself, the federal government and the Minister for Foreign Affairs. So DFAT goes out and negotiates treaties with other UN member states, and that's how it works. What about the sovereignty of the Aboriginal people that are here? Now, this state-based treaty stuff is what? What's it going to achieve? Remember 2018, we went down, we got an invite to go and attend the Yorta Yorta people, because this is all about getting this treaty commissioned together, and we actually said to them, look, what's the good of it? You're just going to waste your time, effort and money. You might get a few pennies, but you're going to sit on this body, by the way. And out of that, and just an interesting point, on that body, to go down this treaty road, only 7% of the Aboriginal people had actually voted to go down that treaty road. Only 7% had voted to work out if they want to do a treaty or not. 7%. Out of that, what, it's 70 or 80,000 people. That's peanuts. That's minuscule. What do the rest of them want? So this is what I'm saying. Yorta don't have a seat on that. Or they had a seat there, but they didn't fill it after we spoke to them. They said, look, it can't be true. It can't be real. This is just a delaying mechanism. It's just this to kid you and have be a game. You come in and you can have a say. Have a say with what? A real treaty is done at the federal level.
Yeah, what makes it a little bit trickier too is that obviously the Yorta Yorta, their boundaries actually, if we look using the modern description, go across New South Wales and Victoria. So they're sort of stuck in between a rock and a hard place in terms of they're not being, you know, they're getting 50% addressed inside of Australia, let's say. But Yirralum, I was going to put you on the spot here, but is it, do you think, you know, being practical people, is it good to take the money and use it to build the sovereignty, or is it? Do you think there's a danger there that usually these things are earmarked, or you know, is it possible to do that? You think?
It depends on the awareness of the people doing it. You know, if they are aware of the fact that the treaty will never be ratified, it'll never be real in the sense of what a treaty should be. Absolutely, they could then take that on and operate it to their benefit to set up their own citizenship and so forth. So, you know, it always just depends, you know. And Australia, like you just said before, Ganyara, like it crosses borders. You know, you look at the map of Indigenous Australia that was brought out many years ago, and I don't think there's one border in any of the Australian states that isn't covered by two different nations from the originals. So it can't be done in any sort of form in a state level.
Yeah, Ganyara, I think it is difficult because people usually are marginalised, they're disenfranchised, dispossessed. So something like this may appear to be some sort of treasure chest where they can build their foundation for their future generations. And, you know, that's why we always say the disclaimer, of course, is that, you know, while it doesn't make sense legally for us, it doesn't mean we don't support their decisions. You know, obviously they have the choice to make and that's up to them. That's their world, that's their land, they can choose to do it. The thing is that what Dirilum's underlining is the comprehension of the whole situation. Is it really going to fix the problems? Or will Aboriginal people and children be taken away from their families continually or locked up continually or, unfortunately, just in custody? So that's where sovereignty is really important, because the tribe should be the ones to exercise law and justice over its own people and the nationals or citizens of that society.
If you have a look at how law works, you will understand that, you know, that if you play inside Australia, you're subject to all Australian law. You know, you talk about the stolen children, you know, they're being taken away. Or are they being removed by family services, for example, legally and lawfully under an act that doesn't necessarily take into account the Aboriginal law that's always been there. And people are living under that Aboriginal law, are starting to get their kids taken away lawfully inside Australia because you are being seen legally through the Australian identity. If you're being seen through that means you accept the Australian dollar, you'll accept the Australian passport, you'll accept all this Australian stuff. So if you accept that means you are now subject to all the Australian laws, including family law, which is really tough on Aboriginal families because they've got two conflicting systems of law in place. You know, they've got the old Aboriginal law that's just been there forever and a day. And then, you know, things like paybacker is a good example. Under Aboriginal law, a lot of them have capital punishment. Now, if you apply capital punishment inside Australia, what happens? If you're applying it as an Australian citizen, you're going to be subject to murder charges or things like that. So you can't actually do that. So this is what I'm saying. You've got conflicting systems in place where under Aboriginal law, you must pay back or get it all sorted right there and then. But under Australian law, you can't do that. You've got to go to the court. So it's going to create this, you're going to be done for murder for subscribing to Aboriginal law. It's the legal identity that creates this. It gives you the right to assert your law properly. And this is the very problem. As you talk about the Victorian treaty process, what are you settling? What are you going to settle? How can and this is, by the way, people don't realise this, it's for Aboriginal Victorians. Now, that includes, you might not be there. We might have a Yidinji bloke down there that considers himself an Aboriginal Victorian. He can take part in the treaty process down there when his country really is back here. He's got no right to be talking about anything down there, but it's back here. And this is what I'm saying. How can it sort anything out? It's creating division in society, inside Australia. And I can't blame Australians, by the way. I can't blame them for getting their back up over this, because it's just a good waste of... It's a further waste of money. We even said, going back a few years, that The Voice was a total waste of money. It really was a total waste of money. There might have been an ulterior motive about constitutional recognition of Yidinji or the Aboriginal people, but it was a total waste of money. The money could have been better spent on hospitals, could have been better spent on schools for everyone, not for all Australians, not for the Aboriginal people per se, singly, but for all Australian citizens. That's the important part. Now, if we want to settle the past, we've got to do it properly. We've got to do this as two sovereign nations, like our mob, Yidinji Nation and the Commonwealth of Australia, not the state of Queensland. They got no right to be party to this. And by the way, there was Professor Greg Craven, I think, and Anne Toomey in 2015 or 16 said state-based treaties are a total waste of time. They are not what they seem. They will not be nations. They will not create the Aboriginal nations that they need to be. And it's just a, you know, gaudy beads and a blunt axe. It's really given there. And I think Professor Craven said that it'll be like the old breastplates, the old English breastplates. Here you are. We'll make you a king. They really didn't respect the Aboriginal people. They hung it around their neck. They actually disrespected the Aboriginal people by calling them a king. Because there wasn't a king per se, like in our lot. There's the king plate on him. No more. We had a society built on area representation, canton representation as the elders. They all got together and talked about stuff. Not one singular king that they could take the mickey out of. So, you know, this is what I'm saying. They're doing this to the Aboriginal Victorians. They're really taking the mickey out of you. This is not going to be a treaty. And anyway, by the way, if Australia thinks fit, it can override that treaty legislation and say, oh, look, it's causing too much harm to Australia, we'll just get rid of it. And they got every right to do that under the Australian Constitution.
Yeah, one of the things that obviously moving into this space many years ago now, and, you know, this was obviously my calling in terms of that. That's my firm belief is that, you know, the Creator called me to this particular position that I'm in now. But the very minute that I accepted the new name, which isn't an Australian one, which is fair enough, I acknowledge the sovereignty and the law of that name. So it's you could use that for Eddie Mabo, for example. So Mr. Mabo was a Queenslander, Australian, a great Australian, changed Australian law in the Australian High Courts. But Koike is a different calling. It's a different movie as such, a different script, and a different actor. And or same man, but acting differently. And that's a very important thing, Ganyara.
Do you remember that court case where you were fronting, you're detained for that in 2015? And the judge said, if you're not one of ours, there's the door. You're free to go at large. Do you remember that?
Very, very much so. In fact, we wrote a letter to that particular man that was sitting on the court that day and congratulating that particular man for making the correct decision. That's a very important thing. So when you accept the name, whether it's an Australian one or a tribal one, you're going to have to bring yourself into line, which is why we're very, very cautious not to bring the Yidinja Nation into disrepute or disaffection because, one, it is greater than just one man or one person's view, for example. And I think that's a very important thing to understand, that if you're going down this track, give honour to what is honourable and, you know, and the Yidinja Nation is God's creation, whereas the Commonwealth of Australia is man-made. So there has to be a true understanding of where you are in this world. And, you know, as I've said before, Yidinja was here yesterday, today, and will be here tomorrow, forever, because it is one of God's creations. And that's a very important thing to realise and understand, that your tribe is in the same situation. And it's how you act and you portray it. But the Yidinja way, as it's come to be known, it's not because of what we're doing, but it's just people call it that, gives that clarity, Yirrlim, and that's a very important thing, is that we often heard Dr. Yinapinga talking about two-way learning and Yulnu way and Australian way, and that's important. We know that Koike and Mr. Mabo are two different worlds, but this gives absolute clarity as to the identities and the legal world that the Yidinja Nation now operates in.
Yeah, certainly from a tribal perspective and a sovereign nation's perspective, absolutely. It always concerns me when you hear that terminology of walking in two worlds. When you go from traditional cultural practices into what Australia has created, you're walking into confusion because, you know, look at the voice is a good example, as and it's probably a good example for the treaties, the state treaties as well, where they didn't even know what the outcome of the management of a yes vote would have been. If everyone did vote yes, they didn't even know how they were going to manage it, what it actually meant, whether a single voice was advising the large body of Australia and then that really that's all it was, one voice. It had no power. It was very meaningless in that sense, and realistically, so is the state treaty. Yeah, that they're looking at the same sort of model, and it's got no power to it. The only power that exists is the originality of the sovereign. Yeah, so whichever tribal group in whatever part of this continent choose to recreate their practices on paper, that's all it is, because their practices are ancient. And it's just putting down a paper as you said, the Yidinja way is one way of naming it. And that gives you the power to then be the separate entity. A nation can't treaty with itself. Australia and the states can't treaty with themselves, within themselves, because it's like making an arrangement with you. You can't marry yourself, sort of thing. So this concept is there for other nations, for us to support them becoming their own separate entity.
Yeah, and Ganyara, it's like that's been happening thousands of years. When you go to Warama or Shaky Leg, you know, or you're going through ceremony of some sort, people would, in some areas, paint up certain ways, and that would give them a different status in the society, and there would be story on their body in terms of the paint and things like that. But then they have a bogey and it's washed off, and that moment has been parked and gone in the past now, but always revisiting it. So that practice of acting correctly and in the appropriate capacity has always been there, but there is that confusion, as Yirrlim alluded to earlier there, that the Commonwealth of Australia gives you all these options, but you still use one identity. And that's where sovereignty is very, very important in knowing how to exercise it properly.
Very much so. And I'll go back to what the judge said, or the magistrate said to you at the time. If you're not one of ours, that's a possessive statement. If you're not one of ours, you're free to go at large. That means if you're not an Australian, we can't make any ruling over and above you, because you might be under the law that's here first. You know, the sovereign entity is here. And by the way, I'll remind everyone, this is not some citizen, sovereign citizen nutcase stuff. This is really fair dinkum sovereign law that's here. It's all about constitution. It's all about systems of law. So when the judge said you're not one of ours, meaning you're not an Australian or a Queenslander, it didn't matter. You're not one of us. There's the door, because we can't make a decision over something that's exterior or foreign to us. And Yidinji is foreign. He actually said basically in that sentence, you're foreign to us. There's the door. There's no agreement between Yidinji and Australia to let international norms take their place. Like if a Chinese citizen comes in and misbehaves here under an international treaty, about laws and the application of law, the Chinese citizen can be tried under Queensland or Australian law because of that international treaty. But there is no agreement between Yidinji and the Commonwealth of Australia or the state of Queensland.
Yeah, and, Nyalan Yini was one that tested that system out back in 1928 or 38, or around that time. And that's been there for a long time. Same with Ballard versus the Crown, Bonjon versus the Crown. You find all these case law examples of where sovereignty is exercised correctly, and the imperial system or the Australian modern system can't exceed what is written, and they know that. That's one of the things with the written law. They can't exceed it. So it's not that, people can use that like punch someone inside of Australia and run behind Yidinji law or do something like that. You can't, because we often say that the Yidinji repercussions might be a lot more serious if you're mucking around like that. And we really, it's an exciting place that we're in, and sovereignty is a beautiful thing once you understand the value of it and the value of things and persons and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, you're listening to Black Law Trial Edition right across the planet today. We'll be back after the break.
Oh, yes. Struggling with the cost of living. Struggling with the cost of living. Struggling with the, struggling with the cost of living. Struggling with the cost of living now. Go to grind to survive. Two jobs, no sleep, just trying to stay alive. Bills stacking high, but the weight is on my chest. Every set to make, man, it's gone in a sec. First job at dawn, second one at night. No time for dreams, seeing no end in sight. Minimum wage, but the rent sky high. One missed payment and it's bye-bye. Living on the edge, praying for a break. Check to check, living, how much can I take? Groceries are ramped, the choice is so tough. In this economy, enough is never enough. Dreams feel distant and hopes are defined. But I keep pushing, I won't be left behind. Gotta stay strong, we'll keep my head held high. In this harsh world, we gotta reach for the sky. Struggling with the cost of living. Two jobs, no rest and no chilling. One missed payment and you're out on the street. Buying every day just to make it.
Yeah, welcome back to the show. We're talking about sovereignty and I guess some of the things that have been going on with the state-based treaties. But once again, that confusion element inside of Australia, Yirrlim, the system picks their champions and spits them back out, and that's happened to Senator Price, for example, and many others, not just her. I mean, it's a difficult position to be in because you're expected, just because you're black or whatever it is, to be not only remain popular, but also try and do something for your mob inside of a system where you're 3% and there's a 97%. And that's always going to be very, very difficult. Whereas turning it on its head, the Yidinji way, is a lot more easier from a, you know, because those things, are, when you look at those numbers, it seems like it's impossible. But when you're doing it in the correct manner here with sovereignty, it's very, I'm not saying it's without challenge, but there's a piece of mind to it as also.
Yeah, well, you know, you listen to some of the rhetoric around what things like the supposed treaties from Victoria is going to cause all the Australian Victorians and the problems that it's going to arise by giving the what was the word used, the mystical people their ownership of everything. And it's it's not a bad word, but mystical, because you know, like what is the courts, Gunyar, I'll ask you this one, what are the courts operate on when it comes to the Bible? How do they relate to the mystical?
Well, you're talking about the Commonwealth of Australia and the Queensland court. They got a Bible sitting in there. They want you to tell the truth, but they're not telling you what really you're being seen legally through, you know, because they go, oh, well, you're one of ours. Are we going to talk about, you know, the Bible law, or are you going to talk about the Australian law? Oh, well, if you're talking about Bible law, you've got no room in here for it. You know, this, you got to leave and you got to, that's got to go. Then they hold against you in your favour. So, you know, there is two worlds out there, one in all make-believe, and one that's real, you know, the tangible stuff. There's the trees and the kangaroos and all that sort of stuff. And the humans, by the way. And that's what they said to Murrumbu. If you're not one of our citizens, if you can't be seen legally through ours, you're still a human. We know who you are. We know what you are. That's God's stuff. We can't see in there. We're not allowed to see that. We can see our citizen only that you're being seen legally through. But if you aren't being seen legally through one of ours, you must be seen legally through another one of the other coexisting sovereignty that they talk about. So you're over there, you're foreign to us, you're foreign in paper. This is the craziness of it. Humans like to think that they're a piece of paper. They're not. The piece of paper, and this is where the sovereign citizens go wrong, they like to think that they are the paper, but you participate in a society through the piece of paper. That's all the best of it is. They like to think there's all money attached to it and everyone's greed gets sucked into it and, you know, you get into that world, you're lost. But really, if you talk about the courts and even the parliaments have a Bible sitting on the desk down there, do they uphold the real biblical law? Or are they using that as for humans to say, I can participate in Australia, I'm going to abandon God for a couple of hours and be seen inside Australia through a legal identity? Now, how crazy is that? You talk about the Bible and mystical stuff. What is Australia? Where I want someone to come to me and say, this here is the Commonwealth of Australia that I can see on the ground. I want to see the tangible, here is the Commonwealth of Australia, or is it a mystical piece of paper that hangs on the wall? Think about that. Well, I want someone to show me.
Like you just said, you know, it's one of the determinants of the misguided sovereignty ideas that people are touting about, that, you know, what land are you connected to? If there isn't any land to connect your sovereignty to, how can you be sovereign?
Well, that's part of the problem for all these, for the Commonwealth of Australia, because it's actually been said to me by a number of academics, especially from the bigger unis in Australia, probably one of the more influential ones, and it's in Canberra, by the way, where they've actually said...
It's not the Canberra University either.
They've actually said, you're right. Yidinji is right in this way and procedures. They know we're right. We know that they know. So where do we go from here? So if we're right, what we're doing is right, why aren't the rest of the Aboriginal nations being formed? You know, this is where, like, Senator Price, I think she's Arundhawaya somewhere over there in Alice. Why isn't she doing this, or is she being paid handsomely to be a native trooper? You know, I'm not picking on the woman. I'm just saying.
But it's her choice. It's her choice to do it that way, you know.
Absolutely. Like, that was the native troopers when they originally come out. You know, they were bringing up native troopers from down south to come and shoot us and do our lot up here. That's their choice. You know, you don't have to do it. And she chose that way, and she gets a lot of attention. You know, doing it the Yidinji way, there's no limelight. Trust me on that. It's very, you're out on your own type stuff. But that's just what that's our choice and our choosing.
And that's what I was saying earlier before, like, you know, whether, you know, you look at some of the leadership in the past, they're from all different sides of politics, let's say, inside of Australia. So, but it doesn't matter what, left, right, it doesn't matter. The ship of the Commonwealth of Australia is moving in one direction, its direction, the one that it wants to go down. So it doesn't matter what Aboriginal man or woman is acting inside of Australia, you're still fulfilling the wishes of the Commonwealth.
The 97%.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. It's easy to pick on people or to build them up in that world, let's say, to say they're a champion for Indigenous rights and that. But ultimately, the agenda is to stop people from asserting their sovereignty, in my view, or that encourage them to do it correctly. And that's the main thing.
But does that settle the past and secure the future of Australia? Because remember that, going back a couple of years now, it's actually nearly a couple of years to the day. We had an invite to go and attend Canberra. We went down there and it was a treaty workshop put on. And we were walking out one night and a woman said to me, "Do you realise you've got every right to go and do a treaty with China?" That struck me as, who the hell is this woman telling me that? Who is she? I asked her the next day, "Who are you?" She said, "I work for the Federal Attorney General." Now, what a comment to make to an Aboriginal nation that knows that they can do that. We now know that they know we can do that. So how does being an Aboriginal Australian like Senator Price or Linda Burney or any of those, Melindira McCarthy, how does that settle the past and secure the future for Australia? By being inside Australia, you physically cannot secure the future for Australia if the Federal Attorney General knows that we can do a deal with anyone we like. That really sticks to me, and that's 2 years of knowing this now, that they know that we can. So how does that secure Australia's future from here on forward?
They know they don't have the root title.
And we do. We have the absolute right to do this stuff. They know we can do this stuff. And sadly, we are doing this stuff. So it's the hypocrisy that Australia's coming out with, saying, let's stop the immigrants. Let's stop all these people coming in. The hypocrisy of that is just mind-blowing. All these people are rallying down there in the cities. I see Melbourne had four rallies going the other day. There was the pro-immigration rally. There was the anti-immigration rally. Fancy that the Australians that don't have the proper sovereignty here, they haven't got a doctrine to prove they have sovereignty here. Fancy them telling us or anyone else, you're not allowed into here. They got no choice.
Yeah. Well, you know, we always talk about the sovereign citizen movement and things like that, and the world of confusion and whatnot. And I've got an interesting, it's quite a funny story. I mean, we don't really laugh too much in terms of, but the, anyway, usually with the sovereign citizen thing, it's a mob of white fellas, let's say, usually inside of Australia talking about these micronations and all that kind of stuff. But this is a bit of a funny one now, because there's some black fellas doing it in, of all places, Scotland. Anyway, the Kingdom of Kabbalah, a self-proclaimed community in Scotland that calls itself Africa's Lost Tribe, is facing eviction after making headlines with bold claims of sovereignty. The three founding members insist they are reclaiming land they say was stolen from their ancestors 400 years ago. You got to have a bit of a laugh, going to somebody else's land and getting claiming it. And when you don't have foundation of law, it's very different to the Yidinji situation, by the way. The Yidinji Nation has law, and it's got connection to country and all those things in the Australian world. It's already proven beyond doubt. But Ganyara, this, you can't make this stuff up. It's quite comical because there's even a photo of it, and it looks really, really it's funny. That's all I can say.
It's funny, all right. Wasn't there a Murray bloke went over from here, went over to the White Cliffs of Dover or somewhere there and jumped on the beach and said, "I proclaim this to be now an Australian mob"?
Yeah, Burnham.
Burnham, yeah, that's it. And I just find it all so comical. As I said there, you know, earlier in the show, that it's where the law is made and how you participate in that law. Now, these Murray blokes said in Scotland. I actually like the word "in" very much so, because in law, in legal terms, means under or based on the laws of Scotland. So they're living under or based on the laws of Scotland, and yet they claim to want to be this some long-lost tribe. That may be the case historically. But as soon as they said in to me, said, "Oh, no, we're Scottish and we're going to do this stuff." So it becomes a sovereign citizen nutcase job. And look, it doesn't. The sovereign citizen stuff is not controlled by colour. Remember, it's across all people and all races. But I do find it funny that Murray's or Blackfellas going up to Scotland where it's all white to lay claim to this long-lost territory.
Yeah, it was like the British coming here and laying claim to this territory that belongs to all the Aboriginal nations here. So the irony is beyond me.
It's comical to say the least. And look, when the white fellas come here, and this is what we know, that Australia knows is that the act of settlement had to be done under two things. There are two chances to be done properly. One was terra nullius. No one here. You could settle the place and lay claim to it. Or you do a treaty. Hang on a sec. What are they talking about in Victoria? They're talking about treaty. It still won't perfect the act of settlement. It wasn't conquest. I said that in Mabo. It was definitely not an act of conquest. It was an act of settlement where they moved into our house and just sat on our chair for a while. Then they laid claim to the dining room table. Then they laid claim to the bedroom. And they laid claim to the whole lot, including the Thunderbox. You know, this is all ours now.
And so that means that from the perspective of the original people, that they would have been immigrants.
Funny you mentioned that. They actually become unlawful non-citizens of the Aboriginal nation that was there at the time. That's what I'm saying, the hypocrisy of the Australians, the unlawful non-citizen, saying these other people can't be unlawful non-citizens or immigrants legally, you know. So this is the stupidity of the matter with these protest marches and rallies. Do they really want to know the truth of the matter? Because Australia knows the truth, but do they want the Australian citizens to know the truth of the matter?
Yeah, very much so. And that's what we talked about earlier about the Victorian model of treaty and all that kind of stuff. The way that the Yidinji Nation is preparing for any agreement is the correct way from a Yidinji point of view. That is that Yidinji has the upper standing and any other party has the understanding that's foreign to Yidinji.
It's not only us saying that. It's that large academic group down in Canberra that are saying exactly that. They're saying we're right.
Yeah, you're listening to Black Law Tribal Edition right across the planet today. We'll be back with some extra yarn and some final comments after that.
Hey, this is Captain Britt, and you're listening to BBM 98.7 FM.
Well, rumour is that you've been seen running like an old greyhound.
Yeah, welcome back to the show. You're listening to Black Law Tribal Edition. Thanks to our friends at Bumblebee Prep Media 98.7 FM. And all those out there listening to it inside of Australia, the National Indigenous Radio Service is carrying this program to most places now. And I think Central Australia and are the next receivers of the program. So all the mob out that way. We hope you enjoy the show and join us every week on the program. Kinyarra, the world is changing quickly. We see that there are wars and all these types of conspiracy theories and whatnot. But one of the ones I thought was very interesting is that the Russian president Vladimir Putin had alluded somewhere that all the debt of the world was being transferred into cryptocurrencies, and that will be a major fall in the future. When we talk about sovereign wealth and the Yidinji Nation, which is entertaining the idea of a digital currency, has one now, the sovereign Yidinji dollar, or the SID we call it, it's very different to cryptocurrency. It's similar technology, but can you explain the difference between the money side of things and commodities or Bitcoin or things like that?
Well, it's funny you talk about that, because I've noticed lately, if you look at Bitcoin relative to the price of gold, Bitcoin is actually falling. Bitcoin is falling in value relative to an ounce of gold. You know, so they're saying it's $110 at present, $110,000 for Bitcoin. But if you look at that, but gold's been going up in value and in association with the dollar, the US dollar. So in relation to the US dollar, gold price is going up, yet Bitcoin is staying level or falling a little bit. It's not going up like gold is. So gold is outpacing the value of Bitcoin. So Bitcoin is only a commodity. It's not legal tender. I think there's one Central American country is wanting to call it legal tender as part of their mechanism. I think India has outright banned it, and I think China is in the process of banning Bitcoin being used there in any form of payment, because like in China, RMB or the yuan is the currency, and that's how you settle your debt inside that world. So Bitcoin is just a technology. What is a Bitcoin? I ask everyone, what you tell me what Bitcoin is. They say, oh, it's got a perfect ledger. Yeah, it's a perfect ledger of what? Perfect ledger of gold you can actually go and touch. You can actually smell it and see it, and you can If the value of money falls away and you've got a piece of gold, at least you can put a hole in it and make a fishing sinker. At least you can go fishing with it, you know. But a Bitcoin is what? It's just this gammon make-believe stuff in our human mind that's got some value. The value is supposed to store your labour. That's why you use money. So Bitcoin is all gammon, in my opinion. It's all make-believe. But the dingy dollar, which is a digital currency, is backed by the value of our resources, our piece of land, our territory. The one Australia can't claim, that's our territory. Where's theirs? If we claim this territory of ours, as ours, under laws that were earlier than Australia, that precede Australia coming along, then it must be our territory because we haven't signed it away. We haven't ceded anything. We have said this is our territory right from day one. We've maintained our territory right from day one. Australia just sort of marginalised the Aboriginal people and put them into missions. And I'll use the word mission very specifically. They're not communities. They are missions. These are open-air concentration camps to get the Aboriginal people away from their resources that Australia wants to claim as its, so they can sell it on the open market to bring more of this gammon money in. But the Yidinji dollar, we say, no, you can't do that. This is our territory. If you read Article 28 of UNDRIP, either give their place back to them, the United Nations Declaration of Rights for Indigenous People, Article 28 says, give the place back to them, tell them the state, give it back to the Aboriginal people, or give them somewhere of equal value, and they cannot do that in Australia, because if you look at the map of Australia, I think the IATIS has got it out there with all the Aboriginal nations. How can they give us somewhere else? How can they give us Aranda country, for example, when we're really over in the rainforest? Give them somewhere of equal value. Or pay them in what? Pay them in, you know, the currency of the nation, which is devaluing by the day. And by the way, I'll say, Australia does not have an inflation problem. Inflation is the wrong word to use. It is the decrease in purchasing power. That's what you've got to use in place of inflation. You've got to use Australian dollar. It's not getting inflated. It's getting devalued in purchasing power. So you cannot buy today what you could have bought yesterday for the same price. That's what devaluation is. But the Yidinji dollar is based on real stuff, the gold in the hill out here, our tangible assets that we have in the vault, our fish, our water, our sea, whatever Australia owes us can be part of that. This is what I'm saying. Ours is backed by substance and real stuff. Putin is right. They have to do something about the huge global debt that's out there. And who's the huge global debt owed to? No, ask that question. The money of the realm of America, for example, is not final settlement. It can't be final settlement. That's what we were talking about earlier off air there about final settlement. It cannot be because it's a debt-based instrument.
Yeah, I remember going to the shops for 20 cents, you know, mixed bag of lollies and 20 cents to go to the pool here. And, you know, I don't think you can buy anything for 20 cents at the moment, but, you know, it's all changed.
So what you're saying is the purchasing power of that 20 cent coin has been eroded to zero, basically. You cannot buy what you used to do. You know, look at last year. They say, oh, we had 6% inflation. No, we had 6%. Decrease in purchasing power. Say it that way, you'll understand what money is. Don't think inflation is great. Oh, my house went up in value. No, it didn't go up in value. It took more of those same debt notes to buy your house. So that's decrease in purchasing power. You've got to look at money like that.
It's mystical, isn't it? Like the word inflation is truly mystical because it alludes to some outside power making things go up.
I'm glad you brought that up. Just like the mystical Aboriginal nations and I, it's insane. But the Aboriginal people must realise where their true wealth lies. Their true wealth is their land. By the way, as we said earlier, Australia cannot produce a doctrine to prove how it got to assert sovereignty over your land. Mm. That is definitely not there. We know, and we've been told by the best academics in Australia, the best of the best, that our sovereignty is not affected by whatever Australia does. So why be in Australia if you can't have an effect on your nation? So you've got to come back to your nation and revitalise it. Like Yidinji, we're told, and we're told 100 times, we are correct. Australia know we're correct, but how do we get the Aboriginal people to see this stuff when they get a few of these debt-based notes that are devaluing overnight as we talk?
Yeah, exactly. So you imagine if people accepted a $1 million settlement and, you know, a year later it's devalued and it's only worth 75% of the original total, you know, it's lost its value. 250 grand wiped off it straight away. I mean, this is what we're talking about. But Yulam, the whole reason why the Indigenous Nation is actually developing its own currency and the Reserve Bank and all that kind of stuff is because obviously we feel that, one, it's the right thing to do, but two, it'll play an extremely important role in the next few years to come. It may not be ready exactly right now, but, you know, the Creator's timing is perfect and there will be a time when it'll be put to use. And last week we spoke about how a lot of the Yidinji families are living in poverty at the moment and it shouldn't be like that. So I think this is where it's going to head towards.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's about doing it the right way. You know, the right way is people first, not the illusion of the value of money or anything like that, because obviously it's not money we live off. It's the work of other people's activity. The division of labor is the world we live in, and we really need we need everybody to come together. That's the Yidinji way. It's about how do we move forward together. And the current system in the Western side, or at least in the Australian way, and what we've been talking about today with the dysfunction and the chaos within the current system isn't looking after people. It's looking after, I'm not really sure what it's looking after, the few, the minority. And yet here in this country, it is the minority that have the access and the rights and the sovereignty of the land. So that remains and continues that way. And it's a choice that all the other nations of this fantastic continent have got, is to make that something written down. That's all it really takes, because it's acknowledged by Australia that the original owners are the original owners. They are sovereign. And all it takes is that creation of the identity and all the other aspects of government for the negotiation to get underway.
Yeah, it's that simple. And but obviously, to unravel that whole system of what's been manifesting for thousands of years, let's say, is it's not going to happen overnight. And that's where we keep coming back to even some of the people involved or who got involved at the very beginning. You know, some of them have passed on now, and some of the younger ones are asking how things are going. And, you know, that's a good thing that they're interested in the positive aspect of it. And that's where I think it's very important that sooner than later, the Yidinji dollar will be able to be cross-border enabled, let's say. And that's not too far away, Ganyara, when we talk about modern-day currencies and identity, because the Yidinji Nation is one that's leading from the very beginning and from the front of the pack.
Most definitely is, because we understand the implication of the identity, the legal identity. Remember, you aren't the identity. You're seen legally and politically through the identity. It is not you. It is created by a state for you to participate in the life of the state. It's not yours. It's theirs. And that's how you play in Australia. How do you get a bank account? You need to be going to have a birth certificate. You've got to produce that. Okay, that's my entry point into Australia. You've got to have this 100-point setup, you know, or you've got a Medicare card because you're participating in Australia. So there's some more points towards this opening a bank account. What do you get in your bank account? Australian notes. Do you really own anything that you buy with that money? Because you're buying it through an Australian identity. You're buying it through Australian notes. You're buying an Australian entity. Did you own it? Or does that belong to the state itself? This is how they can take your vehicle off you when you go and do wheelies. You know, if you disturb the peace with a car, it's an Australian car. You bought it for Australia. So what's bought by the slave is owned by the master. Who's the master? Australia is. So that's what I'm saying. Be very careful of what you do. If you want to have real ownership of your land, go back to your real law that says you are the owners. There's a lot of native title cases about that said, what are you doing to me court? You own the place. We can't give you nothing.
Yerlim, some final comments, and then we'll go to Ganyara.
Yeah, sure. It's a big point, Ganyara, because the idea that money is determining who you are, and you, you know, in that system you were just describing, people measure themselves against each other in a form of money, of how much you earn per hour or whatever it might be. And see, that's a foreign system to traditional approach, because the traditional approach, you know, you can never, you're not a commodity. You're a human being. You're a spiritual human being. And that can never be bought in any form. And it's if you look at the division of wealth traditionally, you know, before the arrival of all those sales that came to this country, those immigrants that came to this country, you know, you go back to that time, things weren't divided based on an hourly rate of anybody. It was based on what the needs of the people were and the dependents they might have. So it's the same that you will continue in that manner and not go down a slavery model where people are judged in monetary terms.
Precisely.
Yeah,
100%. I agree 100% with that, precisely. How can you value your time on earth in dollars? In dollars that are being devalued as we speak. You know, the purchasing power is being eroded away by what they want to call inflation, but it's not. It's just being eroded away by printing money up. Your real asset is we don't need to have this money, you know, but we're in a modern world where people need to swap your preservation of labour. That's all that matters on earth is your time and your effort and your labour. That's all that matters. Nothing else matters. And people want to get to have all these big numbers in their bank account because it shows their a reflection of their labour and effort. That's all fake and all gammon. It's all make-believe. What we need to do is go back to ensure that every single human is getting its fair share of what we want to say. You know, when you said about using the Australian identity, you've actually left God's world. You've actually joined into the state. You know, you've gone into one of these bad places that they say in the Bible. So you're going anti-Bible to be in there, yet they still proclaim the Bible to be the word, which is really great. You know, it is a good book. Yidinji has its own cosmological narrative. It really does. And this is all about sharing and caring for each other and not about greed. This is all mine now that I can buy with this gammon money, this make-believe money. So don't fall into the money trap. Your real wealth is in your land and your territory.
Yeah, that brings an end to the show today. Thank you so much for joining us. May God's peace be upon you wherever you are listening to this program, in the almighty name of Yeshua HaMashiach, which is Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And when you understand that, you understand that there's life after this and of this earth. And if you accept him as your Lord and Saviour, you're going to be saved. It's simple as that. We'll catch you next week anyway. Hank Culling.
Up. I got the mic now. Get strength from the bully beef, just a bully the beef.